Promise divine, which I say, is the freedom given to India was a divine event. Other freedoms, they had to fight for it. It was the lower mind asking for freedom. Here, it was the over mind giving freedom. This concept you try to understand. Until and unless we don't understand this point, we miss the real spirit in which we have to read it. We have to guide humanity towards higher levels of consciousness. I used a plural there, levels of consciousness. Not only in mind, but above mind also. Sri Aurobindo very clearly points out that from mind, if supermind is the evolutionary point, naturally from supermind there will be something. But we will come to that when we reach there, not theoretically. So majority of our discussions or approach towards this synthesis of yoga will be basically up to the level of below supermind. Sometimes aspiring to understand what supermind is. But that does not say that is where Sri Aurobindo has put the limit. He has crossed all those things. But for us who are reading this book, it is better if we limit ourselves towards the possibility of thinking the supermind into ourselves. In this, you go to the last slide. We are talking about this. The basic approach towards yoga is one of ignoring the world and going interior. That is what is known, the lord of the yoga is Purusha. But from this moment onwards, for us, the lord of our yoga is not Purusha, it is Prakriti. The stress has changed. Now, instead of a descent, it is an ascent. Next slide. The method we have to pursue then is to put our whole conscious being into relation and contact with the divine. And to call him in to transform our entire being into his. This is the basic definition and also the process with which we have to go. Everywhere, it is the divine which should be our measuring rod, our litmus test. And naturally we will fail it, fail hundreds of times, no doubt about it. But every time you should call him, that is what is known as Ananya Chinta. You should be continuously aware every second of your life that you take care of me. I am trying my best. But our best before his power is zero. He is infinite. So this spirit, we should always remember, the pull of the divine, aspiration towards the divine, continuously, it is just a feeling, generally many people say, gut feeling. And in chakra language, we can call it as a Manipuraka feeling, the gut. When we are afraid or when we are ready to fight, it is the Manipuraka where something happens. And that should continuously happen. Continuously happen. Thus, in a sense, God Himself, the real person in us, becomes the sadhaka of the sadhana as well as the master of the yoga. This is what you should realize every moment of your sadhana. You are not doing the sadhana. You are supposed to be rejected. You means what? Your mind, your emotions, your physical body's reactions, all these have to be rejected, thrown out. And then what happens? He becomes the real sadhaka. Our sadhana is only not to disturb him. I remember in the childhood, I once read a book titled Good Boy in Hindi, Achha Balak. It was printed by Gita Press Gorakhpur. And there it was written that a good boy always helps his parents, his mother, etc., etc. And so I went to the kitchen and started helping my mother. She said, if you go out, that will be the best help. So that is what we are supposed to do. Let the divine be in and let us go out. This is the real spirit with which we do the sadhana. You try to understand and read it. Because the more you read, I told you that these words by Sri Aurobindo are mantric in nature. A mantra manifests itself. That is what we mean by a mantra. So these spirits, where first is the whole conscious being is put into relation and contact with the divine, and to call him in to transform our entire being into his. And then what we should see? We should feel that the real sadhana is being done by him, not by us. Because actually what is going to happen is you are really being pushed out in this sadhana. Your physical body will be transformed. It has to transform. Next, your vital body will be transformed. And next, your mental body will be transformed. So when these three bodies are transformed, no more it will be you who are doing the sadhana. It is the power which is transforming you is going to do the sadhana for you. This method translates itself into the progressive surrender of the ego with its whole field and all its apparatus to the beyond ego, with its vast and incalculable but always inevitable working. So now we can divide our yoga into two levels, the egoic level and the beyond yoga level. The egoic level has to go. But we start with this. I am doing the sadhana, I am reading this book, it's okay. But what should happen? The beyond yoga ego must take over you. Now the question comes, when we don't know what is beyond yoga, how can we surrender to it? By knowing its laws. We don't see electricity. But you can use electricity. How? By knowing its laws. And the principal law is that you attract what you aspire for. That is the first law you have to remember. It is irrevocable. You will get what you aspire for, not what you wish for. You should understand the difference between a wish and an aspiration. Generally, when I go to my first DST class, I used to ask them, why have you joined this MPC group? All of them answered because they couldn't get a seat in engineering. Then I said, you didn't get a seat in engineering because you only wished for it. You didn't aspire for it. Because you didn't get an engineering seat, okay. Next best, then next best. That is not the process here. All life is yoga. That is what you have to continuously remember. And what is yoga? Progress in evolution. And how can you proceed in evolution? Then the higher transforms you. You cannot transform yourself. It is always the higher power which transforms the lower power. In this series, we have first the Annamaya and Pranamaya koshas transformed by the vital power. The physical body now, this body with our nervous system. Actually, until and unless you have some problem with it, you are not conscious of it. Not being conscious of your body itself is a proof that you are healthy. One of my gurus used to say, when someone complained that he has got a headache, he said, naturally, it proves that you know you have a head. Do you understand the subtlety of the humor? If you are healthy and if you are utilizing your head, you don't know that you have a head. Do you feel it? You don't feel it. But when you are conscious of your body, what does it mean? That there is something wrong with your body. So what does it convey? That some higher nature, now for all of us, the desire nature has transformed our body in such a way that we react for your desires immediately and instantaneously, especially for the animal desires. Many of the thefts are caused because of hunger. Latter, something else. So ahara is the first cause for mismanagement of the body or misuse of the body. So the desire transforms the body. Mind should transform the desire. That has not happened to us. For majority of us, it is the desire which is more important than the mind. That is why it is said as the desire mind or kama manas. In our yogic literature we call it kama manas, where your desire is 90% active and thought is only a process of how to get your desire fulfilled. Even the mind you use is not a pure thought. It is only a process of how you want to get your desire. So what I want to convey is, the higher fashions the lower. Now if you allow your mind to be fashioned, the super mind has to fashion it. Because mind by itself can't fashion it. You have to go to a higher power. So that is the basis. Our mind gives us a feeling that we are real entities. Later we will discuss about the philosophical concept. You just accept it, that it is our ignorance that gives us a feeling of egoism. That you feel that you are you is actually a misnomer. That is the beyond ego state. So you allow the beyond ego state to mold your ego. How do you do it? Certainly there is no shortcut or easy sadhana. That's the problem. There is no shortcut. And the desire mind always wants shortcut. Always. It requires a colossal faith, and whenever we reach Sri Aurobindo's sentences, every adjective has a meaning. They are all mantras. So just faith is not enough. Yes, Sri Aurobindo has said, yes, the supramental descent will be there, yes, the world will change. That is not required. What is required is a colossal faith. Can you understand what it means? High magnitude faith, an absolute courage. And when once you start on this way, your own mind and your own desires sometimes tell you, probably I can't do it, because we lack in the faith. Then what do you have to do? You should have the courage. And what type of courage? Absolute courage. And above all, that is what we don't have, unflinching patience. And that is where many times I think we can have Shirdi Sai as a role model for our starting stages. Shraddha, Saburi, faith, patience. And then Allah Malik. Having complete faith in the Divine. So in the initial stages of our sadhana, probably Shirdi Sai is the best role model. As for intuitive mind sadhana, Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is the best model. So all these have to be integrated, all these personalities, don't think as them as a personality. They think them as a role model for our mental body to copy till we can reach that stage. And the absolute stillness of mind, that is what Ramana Maharshi has given to the world. Be still and know that you are God. And in the divine works of yoga, when Sri Aurobindo talks about concentration, he mentions about the stillness. And many times there was an interaction between Sri Aurobindo, Ramana Maharshi, and I don't know whether you have heard his name. He is known as Nayana, Kavya Kantha, Ganapati Muni. He went to Sri Aurobindo's ashram where mother received him and gave him some important suggestions. So what I want you integrate all these sadhakas and teachers so that you can reach your inner guru. And once you reach your inner guru, you are on the path of the integral yoga. Next. The three stages what I have told you always happen. From one stage to one stage to one stage to one stage. Even in education, it happens. First is, suppose one is in the 8th class. So what does his ego do? He tried to understand the entire knowledge of 8th class. When it understands the knowledge of 8th class, he has to give an examination. And you remember when Sri Aurobindo said that all life is yoga, every problem is an examination. Of the truths you have understood and how you are going to put it into practice. So don't try to run away from any problem. You start from where you are. you try to understand why a particular problem is given. In an examination, a problem is given not to tease the student, not to harass the student. But a teacher who has taught him knows that he can answer that problem because he has taught that problem. Out of syllabus questions don't come either in examinations or in your regular life also. So every problem you have, if you can look it as a problem which nature knows that you can solve, it is not that you cannot solve the problem. If your level of evolution is in such a way that you cannot solve that problem will not come to you. This is what is known as Shraddha. You should have first this faith that this problem I want to avoid. Don't avoid any problem, whether you like a person or you dislike a person. You try to understand why you like him and why you dislike him. And you remember, like and dislike is the ego problem. Beyond ego, there is neither a liking nor a disliking. There is only equality. Samatvam yoga uchyate. I am anticipating the coming slides because I have to go fast. So when you see equality, you remember this point, what I am telling you. So wherever there is a sukha and a dukkha, sukha dukkhe samo krutva, labha labho jaya jayo, tato yuddhaya yuddhasva. So any problem, the result is not important. How you faced it is important. Did you face it with faith? Did you face it with courage? Did you face it with patience? Only three. Faith means you know you have the answer for that problem. When a student goes to the examination hall, what is expected of him? He has the answer to all the problems. The thing is, he should have finished the syllabus. He should have covered all the topics. So sometimes, many students leave some chapters. I know as a lecturer, I also advise people, this chapter is not it, leave it. And now that becomes a defect in his development. And when he goes to a higher class, this defect is exposed. And nature will not allow it. That is where the recoil comes. When from the level of Arjuna, where we are supposed to enter the overmind state, he said, no, I won't fight. Then what happened? A recoil happened. And many people ask him, one man has said that, and why the entire humanity must suffer? Because he is representing humanity. When a president signs something, the entire country is bound by that, whether you like it or not. So this process, the attempt of the ego to enter into contact with the divine, the first step is all problems can be solved. Any problem which comes to you, whether it is cancer, whether it is diabetes, what the modern doctors call it as incurable. They are curable because you got it. The simple logic is because you have got it, it is curable. That is what we say, the ego to enter into contact with the divine. You know, with the divine blessings, we know that everything is curable. You understood the spirit of that sentence? Whatever is given to you in this world is given by the divine. And once you know and don't pay only a lip service, but you really feel it, do you run away from that place or you will stay in that place? That's the answer. Then what happens? When you are put into the examination, that is the first level, you go to the divine and you say he will do the work. the wide, full and laborious preparation of whole lower nature by the divine, working to receive and become the higher nature. And now, why all these examinations are being put? So that this brain of the 8th class student can receive the higher level of education, the 9th class. So this examination is, the divine is working to receive and become the higher nature. You just translate what I am taking about is normal examination to an integrated examination of your body, emotions and mind. I think you can easily equate it. So why these examinations? Why this tough book? Many people find this book very tough. And I do find it tough, but I also find it interesting. And when it is, once it is interesting, you will start reading it. So this is what it will do. It will prepare you to receive the higher nature. And then of course, the eventual transformation. So these are the three steps of any yoga or any examination. First is, face the examination with your knowledge. And why? To receive higher knowledge and then transform yourself to a higher level. Next. There are three outstanding features of this action of the higher when it works integrally on the lower nature. The dominant word here is integrally. Any force which works from above always works integrally. Akhanda mandalakaram vyaptam yena characharam. Only from below you have the division. And therefore, to try to understand the integral yoga also, we divide it into so many chapters and read it. Whereas, if it is integral, one look and you should get it. But we can only integrate part by part, because we are coming from below. Now, when it works integrally, you just always remember that you are a 3-in-1 man. You have thoughts, you have desires, you have an ability to work. You are a 3-in-1 man. Then, it is very easy for you to understand that your body and the other man's body are not similar. They may have the same parts functioning in the same way, but they are not similar. Then the desires, they are not similar. Then the thoughts, they are not similar. But as you go up, the field widens. The physical body is only this much. But the desire body, God only knows how many desires we have. And thoughts, infinite. So it does not act according to a fixed system and succession as in the specialized methods of yoga. So this is first what you have to understand. And when you want to understand this, you always remember that yoga means a very, very fast way of evolution. So if every day, if you can't feel that speed, that means you are not practicing a yoga, but you are practicing a fixed system. And a fixed system is not integral yoga. So, practicing a mantra is easy. Practicing a pranayama is easy. Practicing an asana is easy. But in integral yoga, you can't do that. But you should know how a asana and a pranayama, which is useful to you. You have to decide yourself. So you can't say a fixed part. Got the point? The free and scattered, purposeful working determined by the temperament of the individual. Now we have three temperaments. Always remember. Always remember that whatever you are, either you are working with a body, or you are working with your desires, or you are working with thoughts, and of course all the three intermingling every time. That is why he says free and scattered. Now that's the problem, where you should know the temperament of the individual, and this temperament later we will find is known as the sattva temperament or the rajasic temperament or the tamasic temperament. So I am almost finishing the chapters till the page 283. I am touching all those points, and when I show the slide I say I already told you and go to the next slide. So you have three temperaments, what is known as the triguna, and the basic integral concept, only the concept, not the details, are given in yoga, in Gita. Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna Nirdvandvo Nitya Sattvasso Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. Wonderful shloka, almost giving the spirit of the integral approach towards yoga. What does it say? Traigunya Vishaya Veda. You understand nature by the three qualities, either by the sattva principle, or by the rajasic principle, or by the tamasic principle. And these principles are very simple to understand. When you have an inertia to say, it is tamasic. You understand inertia? The first law of Newton, a body continues to be in its state of motion or rest till something else works on it. That is inertia. That means you don't want any change. When you don't want any change, you remember you are tamasic. It goes on. The physics says, if a body is in motion, it continues to be in motion. That is tamas. If it is in a state of rest, it will be in a state of rest. That is tamas. Until something external works on it. That external work is rajasic. Following the principle, inertia means not being jada, continuing where you are. That is why many people after some age don't want any promotion or don't want any change in life because of inertia, because of tamasic nature. I could explain to you what tamas means. In the yogic literature, tamas means not the inertia, the jadatva, but it means you dislike to have it change. I don't want to be changed, I am happy wherever I am. And now, when you are happy wherever you are, nature of course will not allow you to be like that. Then what will it do? It will put some external constraints. It will make you move. Those external constraints which make you get up from your inertia is rajasic. And now this moves you. Inertia does not want to move. Then what should happen? There must be a balance between these two. If not, you want to go there, you move fast, you will go somewhere else. So you should move. The rajas must be there, but it will be properly mixed with the inertia so that you have a harmony between not acting and overacting. Then you have an illumination there, you have a light there, you have a prakasha there, because you know where you are going. You are not overreaching the target and you are not underreaching the target, you are reaching the target. That is sattva. But the broad lines of working can be developed as a shastra of a synthetic yoga. Next. Accepts our past evolution without rejecting anything essential. The operating word in this sentence is essential. Now we are talking about a higher power pushing all the three lower natures in us. The thought, the desire, the action, the physical body. Or if you can say, we can say it as the manomay sharira, the kamamay sharira, or the pranamay sharira, and the annamay sharira. And instead of sharira, if you put purusha, we will be approaching the integral language. Annamay Purusha, Pranamay Purusha and Manomay Purusha. So what is happening? You understand now, you are not confusing with this nomenclature. Manomay Purusha means your thoughts. Pranamay Purusha means your consciousness which forces you to desire. Prana makes you to live and desire. Life is therefore prana. So first is the Manomaya Purusha. In our integral yoga, the higher beyond yoga ego power accepts our past evolution of Manomaya Purusha. And then it accepts our past evolution of Pranamaya Purusha. And also it accepts the evolution of our Annamaya Purusha. The physical body, the desires and thoughts it accepts. That is essential for your development, for your evolution. And what is not essential, it throws out. Compels all to undergo a divine change. What is not necessary will be thrown out and rejected. And what is essential is transformed by the divine touch. And what you are supposed to do is, you try to understand the transformation that is going on. And sometimes the transformation are not visible. For example, people say you do this exercise, this muscle will grow. Do it 10 times per day. You do it for one day and leave it. What happens? Something happens. It doesn't mean that because you have done 10 times you didn't get anything. But suppose you do it regularly with faith on the man who told you to do this. And then you should have a courage to do it. Because some people say this man wants to become a pahalwan by doing this. And because somebody criticizes you, he becomes more important than your guru. Then who is your real guru, you decide. Many times I have found that many people do not undertake an activity which has been given by their guru because somebody criticizes them. Somebody laughs at them. And he stops those activities. Then who is the real guru? The man who criticized you, who laughed at you. Okay, thank you for your intelligence to leaving your guru and making a man who doesn't know about the subject and criticizing you, your guru. Remember this. This is the fault which many of us do. It doesn't matter what the other man thinks. Do you have your faith that the process is correct? Do you have the courage to face the criticism? That is enough. And if you have the patience to do it, the result is there. You understood what is essential in the divine change? Next. The divine power uses all life as a means of this integral yoga. This you remember. At the most unopportune time, the integral yoga comes in. When you sit for meditation in this and that, it won't do anything, it will just... But somewhere, you are in the office working on a very big problem, suddenly it interferes. Many times, many of you will feel this. And you should be aware of it. The divine power uses all life. That is important. And you always remember, when you are examined by someone who is a competent authority, he will try to examine when you are unaware. Is it not? That is what group interviews and campus interviews are supposed to be. They should not know that they are being interviewed. But the interviews are being when an expert comes, or when some what we call the supervisors, or what they are called, those who check offices, auditors are someone, you understand them, someone who comes, they should not announce and come. If they announce and come, what is their check? You are already prepared. The inspectors. Be aware of this. In integral yoga, the divine pressure. and the divine examination. First he examines you, tests you, and then if you pass it, he will transform you. So be aware always, that is why always be conscious. Be conscious that you are a sadhaka. Every experience and outer contact with our world environment, however trifling or however disastrous, is used for the work. And now, this outer contact with our world environment is exactly what happens when you read a newspaper. Is it not? What happens when you read a newspaper? You are conscious of the world environment. However disastrous, it may be a tsunami hitting something, or maybe the Indian cricketers returning home without the World Cup. For many it is a disastrous event. Is used. Are you, as students of integral yoga, understand this with your reading of newspapers, correlate it. Whenever you read a newspaper, if you read it with this approach, that you are exposed to the world environment, and when you especially hear the TV clippings, where actually the situation is shown you in reality. So this is a beautiful yoga appliance that you have, and many of us feel that you should not see TV. You should see TV, but with this. So it is the approach which is important. It is not the item which is important. Always remember a story told by the Guru. One, a temple was being built. People were hewing the rocks. One man was asked why he was cutting the stone. He said, "What can I do? The government is so incapable. I am a graduate and I didn't get a job. To hell with this." He asked the other one. He said, "I have a family. I didn't get any other job. But thanks to them who is building the temple, at least I can feed my family for these few months." And they approached the third one. He wept with tears of joy. He said, "I am building a temple." So it is not the work what you are doing is important. It is the approach to the work which is important. And this is what we mean by the divine work. When the divine works through you, everything becomes transformed. You will love it. So it is not the situation which is important. Whether you are a housewife and you are cooking food. If you know what to cook and how to cook, if you know what foodstuff gives memory to your children, what food should be given when he is going to an examination, what food has to be given when he is going to play cricket? Your cooking itself is a yoga. So, every experience and every outer contact with our world environment, however trifling or however disastrous, is used for the work, and every inner experience, even to the most repellent suffering or the most humiliating fall, becomes a step onto the path of perfection. Now we come at today's agenda. I have to finish this part 1 up to 283 pages. Let us see what I can do. The 4 A's. For any yoga, or to be exact, for any knowledge you want to develop, you should have a shastra, a science, a methodically developed science, and then you should have a utsaha to read it. If you don't want to read it, no use. And then you should have a teacher. And of course, the time must be appropriate, kala. About this last one, we are sure. This particular time is the best time to read and master the synthesis of yoga. Because someone who is more capable than us has confirmed it. And he is our guru also. So we have these two. What we have to do is, we should have the zeal to practice it. Not just here, come. No, I have asked you a question. About Shankara and Ramanuja, nobody replied. I doesn't mind it. Because if you have replied, I would have been wonderstruck. Huh? The sincerity, the utsaha. Maybe you are wrong, and don't think I am right also. It is my analysis, according to the Shastra. So, utsaha and Shastra is what we have to give to the time and guru. Right, now, for the sadhaka of integral yoga, it is page 55. If you are going through the pages, I am not going very fast now. You are able to get it? The pages? For the sadhaka of integral yoga, it is necessary to remember that no written shastra, however great its authority or however large its spirit, can be more than a partial expression of the eternal knowledge. This is what we have to remember. We are not going to decry or delimit or denounce any book. Each is a part in the integral yoga. But what he means is, it can be only a partial expression. That is what you should remember, because something new is coming. When I was a student of MSc, a new chemistry paper was introduced, quantum chemistry. And there were no teachers for it. Because quantum chemistry, when it was discovered, all my professors are already 20 years working as lecturers. They didn't read it. So does it mean that the old books of science have to be thrown away? They don't deal with the new development. The new development will be given by the guru. But the old development you have to follow before you can reach the stage of the level where your guru wants to start your sadhana. Therefore, a sadhaka of the integral yoga, he will use but never bind himself even by the greatest scriptures. His yoga may be governed for a long time. How carefully Sri Aurobindo uses the words. He didn't say that just because you are integral yoga sadhaka, you need not use the scriptures and you can use it for a small time and leave it. He says, you may be governed for a long time by one scripture or by several successively, if it is in the line of the great Hindu tradition, by the Gita, for example, the Upanishads and the Vedas. Clear? Next. The supreme shastra of the integral yoga is the eternal Veda secret in the heart of every thinking and living being. This is what I was quoting in the Gita. Traigunya Vishaya Veda. Knowledge you get by the three gunas, as I said, by sattva, raja and tamas. But the integral yoga, nirdvandvo, nitya sattvasto, you should become beyond the, what we call, the doubles, the dvandvas, the positive and the negative, liking and disliking, suffering and joy, winning and losing. These are dvandvas. You have to become nirdvandva. What? In this yoga of work, Sri Aurobindo says it as equality. Nirdvandvo nitya sattvastho. You be concentrated in your existence. Niryoga kshema. You don't have any work for any yoga or for any kshema. Yoga means what you want. Kshema means protection of what you already have. Niryoga kshema. And then what you have to become? Become the self with the capital S. Atmavan. So this and that shloka of Gita, that is where Sri Aurobindo always mentions that Gita has hinted about the integral yoga, but almost it, when it reached and just hinted, somehow it stopped. That is the recoil. That is the recoil. Why I am always stressing about the recoil? Whenever you are faced with a problem and you don't solve it and run away from it, you are facing a recoiling effect. Be careful. In integral yoga, you are running very fast. And when you are running very fast, if you are not very sure of where you are putting your step, you may lose much of the ground that you have acquired. Be very careful. I am not trying to instill a fear. I am trying to install a precaution. You understand the difference? And sometimes in science, we take many precautions but never use it. Similarly, this statement of mine also, it is only a precaution, don't use it. I am not saying as a warning. But try to understand that whenever there is a ruffling aspect, you know, understand ruffling? Where there is a misunderstanding and where there is an open strife, remember, if you don't solve it in an integral way, you are going back in your evolution. Page 53, he who chooses the infinite has been chosen by the infinite. This is the faith which we should have. We have the infinite power with us because we have chosen to understand the infinite. Make this a law. You should enter into your day-to-day life. You should feel it and you should act accordingly. Next. An integral and synthetic yoga needs especially not to be bound by written or traditional shastras, for while it embraces the knowledge received from the past, it seeks to organize it anew for the present and the future. Self-evident. No explanation necessary. By this yoga, we not only seek the infinite. That formula you remember? One who chooses the infinite also chooses him. That's what the importance Sri Aurobindo is stressing here. By this yoga, we not only seek the infinite, but we call upon the infinite to unfold himself in human life. In whose human life? In your human life, in your physical bodies, in your emotional bodies, in your mental bodies, the infinite must unfold himself. Therefore, the shastra of our yoga must provide for an infinite liberty in the receptive human soul. That is why everyone have to develop your own yogic method. You have to develop your own method, because how that infinity is going to work in you is certainly different from how it is going to work from a man who is just beside you in the same family. Because it is infinite. But the principle is same. The principle is same. What is that principle? The lower three, the Annamaya Purusha, the Pranamaya Purusha and the Manomaya Purusha are now controlling our lives. These three have a hold on our life. We won't decide, our desires decide. I want to do japa for 3 hours. I sit for japa. Someone comes. So who dominated? Not me, not my wish. But the body's wish not to do. Am I clear? Many times you follow the ordains of your physical or emotional or mental thoughts rather than what you have decided. And now, these three is different from everyone else. And what is the infinite do? It has to mold you. And it has to mold you as you have to be molded. And it is certainly different from the other man. Therefore, in the end, you have to develop your own integral yoga. Next. One may say that the perfection of integral yoga will come when each man is able to follow his own path of yoga. I will give that 15 minutes break now itself. At 7:10 we start, up to 8. We may come to a false idea that we have to start our own individual integral way of practice from step 1. No. The fundamentals you have to learn. Whether you become an engineer and doctor is something else. But the basic is, for 12 years you have to read until intermediate. And then you have a right to decide whether you go to whichever direction you want. For this, in yoga, you remember that there are three forces with which you have to deal. And you should know the laws of those forces. First is that of electricity. It controls thought. All thoughts are electrical in nature. You ask any medical man, especially the modern biological development proves, and so many electronic equipment that are able to map our brains is because it responds to electrical vibrations. And electricity controls thought. That is what our ancient seers have said. I can't go deep into that. But you understand that the forces I am talking about in this yoga are something very material. There are nothing hypothetical in it. Electricity is not a hypothetical quantity. You all know that electricity is a fact in nature. But what you are supposed to know, how the neurons trigger the electrical potential. The yogis did it. And the best way to know it is yoga nidra. That is what yesterday also I told you. You try to understand yoga nidra, and you have experts in it. In Bihar School of Yoga, you have experts in yoga nidra, and always take the expert's opinion. So one is electrical in nature. You should know the laws of electricity, and I am not talking about the laws of electricity of making an electrical appliance. The laws of electricity that govern our brain. And then you should know the laws of prana. And then you should know the laws of kundalini force. Kundalini is the most material force in nature. Most materialist force. So these two we have to learn. Mastering prana as a force and its laws. And then kundalini as a link between the pranamaya kosha and annamaya kosha. There I told you about the five chakras and the five groups. And now you try to understand this point also. As evolution goes on, what once upon a time was done by one man or a few people is now being done by hundreds of people. In offices, in factories, wherever you are, it is the group that is being responsible for any result. If you want to read, you have groups of educational institutions. If you want to earn a living, you have a group of offices. Yesterday I told you about the five types of people. And these five types of people have to come into a group. That is most important. That is what you have to learn. A group approach. The five Pandavas are now not five people, but five groups of people. And these five groups of people, if they can harness these three powers, the electrical power in our brains or in the nerves, the pranic power in our blood and prana, you know they are equal. If the blood count falls down, life energy ebbs away. And then your physical body, annamaya kosha, kundalini. So these are the three specific powers which you should master before entering into the integral way of your own development. Your brain is different from my brain. But the functioning of your brain and my brain is equal. You understand? It's only a difference in training. So if you want to understand the brain power, before you have your own path in integral yoga, you should know how your brain works. That is what is known as Sahasrara Siddhi. Sahasrara means brain. So these we forget. This we have to follow the old technical formulas. You can't change the formula of electricity. Even if it is working in your nervous system, the same rules apply. The Faraday's laws are there. The Ohm's laws are there. They apply there also equally. So before you enter into the integral yoga, you should know about your brain and how it functions, your nervous system. And you should know about your blood, your prana. How blood is linked with desire. You have to learn it, we have forgotten them. And then most of all, you should know the tremendous material energy. Most material energy, Kundalini, is earth energy. So for that you have to learn the shastras traditionally. Integral yoga will later tell you how your individual brain, blood and physical body has to be developed individually. Right? So this gap we have to fulfill. We have to fill this gap. Because wherever we speak about the integral yoga, we do not give these details. We accept that they know, just as when I go to a BSc class, I generally don't talk about the intermediate level lecture. I say you have already read. Technically, of course, you have already read in your past life. I have no doubt about it. And I know about it, that you know it. But you have to re-remember it. And it is not very difficult. Within few months, if you can apply your mind, you can have what I mean by the Sahasrara Siddhi. And you should know what giving blood means. In one of the ancient scriptures it is written, until you wash the feet of your guru with your heart's blood. So what does it mean that you have to... it means something. It means about the prana, the pranic force, and then the kundalini force, and of course the thought force. Next slide. We talked about the shastras. We understood that we have to understand in the modern technology what I call the endocrinology. Endocrinology are the seven centers. Actually what our chakras say and what endocrinology says is one and the same thing. But endocrinology says only about 0.5%, whereas our chakra knowledge talks about 1000%. I don't know if I can use that word, but I think I convey the meaning. If endocrinology now talks about the chakras, about 0.5%, what we have in our shastras is 1000%. But you have to read it. And Sir John Woodruff, he has another name also, Arthur Avalon, he has written wonderful books on this Kundalini Shakti. You have to read them. And then about the prana, about the blood, and how the blood is developed, how blood becomes the food to the child in the mother's womb. You have to learn all those things. And of course about the Kundalini thing, which is only a, what Sri Aurobindo says, the ancient scriptures talk about the ascent of Kundalini. And in Sri Aurobindo's yoga, you use Kundalini as a descent. That is, there is also a change in that. Because it is the divine which pours down the chakras and transforms the chakras. In individual sadhana, you give the pressure and open the chakras. But when the higher power comes, you don't think you need much time. If you are really very sincere and you are a vegetarian, mind you, I am stressing it, as a condition for chakra evolution. You just can't say no. If one man wants to be a good singer, he has to do, he should not take cool drinks and ice cream. He says, no, I will take it. You take it, you can't become a good singer. So I am not talking it as a class for vegetarianism or a campaign for vegetarianism. If you want your Kundalini to open up, you have to be a vegetarian. If not, the Kundalini will not open. Luckily for you. Next. There is a period, more or less prolonged, of internal effort and struggle in which the individual will has to reject the darkness and the distortions of the lower nature and to put itself resolutely or vehemently on the side of the divine light. Self-evident. You have to be very strong. At every step you should know where your desire mind is working. where your desires are working, where your physical body does not want to cooperate, and what should you do? You should tell all of them, go to hell. But we will go to heaven. Next. The personal will of the sadhaka has first to see on the egoistic energy. This is very important. When we talk about in yoga, about being egoless, it doesn't mean that you should goodbye to yoga. Your egoistic energies must not work. Do you understand the difference between egoistic energy and ego? Egoistic energy is, I don't like this, therefore I will see that it will not happen. That is egoistic energy. But what did I say in the beginning? All life is yoga. If you don't like something, try to understand why that dislike is. Do you understand the difference? In the egoistic energy, you want to dominate the situation. If you don't like that situation, and if you can't dominate the situation, the only respite you have is to go away from that situation, to run away from that situation. That is what Arjuna wanted to do, the egoic energy. And very clearly, Sri Krishna said that it is your egoism which is coming in the way, it is not your compassion which is working. So you should know where the compassion is working and where the egoistic approach is working. I could make it clear? When you take the example of the situation where Arjuna gave such a grand explanation not to fight, and very logical explanation. And that is where we should learn how a disciple should teach a guru. Arjuna taught Sri Krishna. After hearing everything, did you know what Sri Krishna said? You are talking as if you are a pandita. You are not. Prajñāvādāśya bhāṣate. Like a fool you are talking. So, this foolishness we may bring into our sadhanas also. Not may, we are bringing it. We are not greater than Arjuna in our faculties. Be careful about that. The egoistic energy should not work. But the ego must work. You understand the difference? Ego means I am doing. You should be conscious of what you are doing. But I want this to happen only in this way is egoistic energy. That should not be there. Once turned, he has still to train them too. Now we have understood all these things. But now, just hearing and understanding is not enough. What you have to do? You should recognize it always in whatever you are doing. Then, you should accept what it says, not what your ego says. And then, you have to follow it. The first two, many of us do it. We recognize what we are supposed to do. And we accept also, yes, you are right, we should do like this. But following becomes the problem. But all the three must be there. Next.
Divine.
Just as the supreme Shastra of integral yoga is the eternal Veda, secret in the heart of every man. Now this is a very, very tough mantra. Very tough because it means something, but actually it points somewhere else. It is like the chandas in Vedas. Do you know what chandas is? Chandas means which covers. Just like a plastic cover covers the current. But if you don't have the plastic cover, the current becomes very dangerous. So the secrets of the mantric vibrations are covered by a chanda, a group of words. This is such a group of words. Just as the supreme Shastra of integral yoga is the eternal Veda secret in the heart of every man, Sri Aurobindo talks about two vital beings in the heart, one in the front and one in behind. Very peculiar thing he talks about. That is here what is meant. I'm just giving a hint, because if you want to explain this and go into it, it becomes a long process. But what it means is, try to understand the heart. Heart means the life of a principle. Our heart is the life of our life, is it not? So, what is the life of integral yoga? What is the life of integral yoga? Surrender. You have to surrender first to the heart. And when the heart speaks, the mind shuts down. You always remember, when there is a fight between the mind and the heart, it is always the heart which wins. Always. And now, when the heart wins, you can find the inner guide, the Jagat Guru. But only when you surrender to the heart. Don't surrender to the mind. And it is so simple. Yesterday I have given you that meditation. Sri Aurobindo here, mother here. But don't try to make it mechanical. You feel the pressure of the mother. And then you should understand what mother is. And if you say the figure, the physical phenomena, what we are able to see with the physical eyes is mother, you are wrong. A doctor is not the physical man, he is the brain behind it. An engineer is not the physical man, he is the brain behind it. And now I want you to know the heart behind it. The heart behind the mother. And there are four levels of it. We have the Mahasaraswati, the Mahakali, the Mahalakshmi and the Maheshwari. That pressure you should build here. In the back of the heart. Not in the front of the heart. When you do that, this heart pumps the blood. The mother, the heart pumps the blood. And when the blood is pumped, what happens? The brain becomes activated. Without the blood, the brain cannot work, you know it. Sri Aurobindo becomes activated. In Vedantic sadhanas, it was the brain controlling the heart. In Tantra, it is the heart controlling the brain. You understand the difference. Or the prana controlling the electricity. And one incident, because we are talking about the integration. Have you heard about the electricity Baba? Anyone? Ganapati Satchinananda Swami in his younger days was known as the electricity Baba. He used to catch the high tension wires with his hands. Why? Ganapati Satchinananda Swami, Mysore Swami. Electricity. The integration. The heart dominating electricity. If you can understand, in that particular, I can't say it as a miracle. He did it. Huh? Experimented. Many times he has shown it. Many times. That is integral. Don't ask that every experiment must be done by Sri Aurobindo, because these are preliminary. Heart dominating brain is not integral yoga. It is much, much, much below integral yoga. But you have a proof. That is what we have to integrate. You have to integrate these sadhanas of Ganapati Satchidananda Swami as a proof of what he is telling here. The same scientist cannot do all the experiments. You have to integrate them. That is why science grows. Because it integrates all scientists. And why spiritualism doesn't grow is it doesn't integrate anyone. But you have to be careful about it. Next. By the inpouring of, I didn't explain to it. I just evaded it and I am honest about it. Sometime later. Because it takes much time to understand a brain and a heart and how it comes out like a walk. Walk Shakti is the prerogative of only human beings. And only a human being can unite heart and head. And when heart and head unite, the mysterious power known as Vaak Shakti. What is the beauty of Vaak Shakti? His experiences we need not repeat. He has given it in words. If you can understand it, you become He. If you understand by Einstein's law, you become Einstein. If you understand engineering, you become an engineer. Then if you understand these books, you will become Sri Aurobindo. But that doesn't mean that Sri Aurobindo was a simple man. If you understand Einstein's law in 10th class and say E is equal to mc squared, that doesn't mean that the 10th class student is greater than Einstein. It only means that once a great man discovers a law, it can be given out by the union of head and heart through walk. That is what chandas is. Every walk is a chandas. And if you are interested, if someone who is very much interested in Savitri, how many lines are there? 23,700 something lines. 823 lines are there. In Gayatri Mantra also, you don't have 24 levels. You have 23 and a half. And if you can interpret Savitri as an explanation of Gayatri, and what is Gayatri? These three forces. The electrical force, the pranic force and the kundalini force combined is Gayatri. And where is He? It manifests as the sun. So in sun, you have all the three forces coordinated. So Aditya Hrudaya explains that in chandas. In words means in chandas. Okay, only that much. But you can dwell on it. Later, certainly I am sure that we are going to interact more and more. And whenever we come to, when I come to Bangalore, and if you happen to be in Bangalore, that's the problem. We will interact. And this time, with more specific topic, instead of a vast subject like this. But why I chose it is, if in these 7 days, if I can create an interest towards understanding integral yoga, I think my job is over. But I will finish it, don't worry. You will see how I am going to finish it. By the inpouring of His own influence, He is talking about the Guru. By the inpouring of His own influence and presence into us, He enables the individual being to attain to identity with the universal and transcendent. Now here we have a clue of how you have to keep Sri Aurobindo and Mother in your heart. It must be a presence. You should feel that Sri Aurobindo is here. You are controlled by His thought. Just as when you are an engineer, you feel the presence of all the engineers, is it not? When you are reading chemistry, it is the presence of all chemists which made you a chemistry man. In that way, the books by Sri Aurobindo, of course, I am not referring to Mother, because Mother is multifaceted. And Aurobindo is only three facets. Synthesis of Yoga, Life Divine, and Savitri. If you can read it, try to read it as you write a difficult subject. Don't turn away from it because it is difficult. It is not difficult. Nothing is difficult. Because if one man has realized it, it means it is simple. The first realization is always difficult. If one scientist can give you a formula, entire people who have that particular training can understand it, irrespective of what they are. The same thing is here. Irrespective of what you are, if you can put your brain, Sri Aurobindo's presence, that means His literature, it should be in your fingertips. Before you go to a practical examination, the theory is in your fingertips. And Mother here, not an image of Mother, her presence, and what miracles her presence does, you know it. It is difficult, sir, it is not at all difficult. It is difficult not to have that experience. If you don't run away, at least for a few months you practice it, with what? Patience. Tremendous patience. You will get the result. Next. The inner guide is often veiled at first by the very intensity of our personal efforts. Sometimes we miss it because the intensity of our efforts. So we are dominating the gurus. Don't dominate them. And by the ego's preoccupation with itself and its aims. This is the most problematic thing. The ego, it sets a goal. And it has got its own aim. Now we begin to perceive how even before our entrance into the path of the yoga, this is the most important thing which I always told you, that you were with Sri Aurobindo and Mother not only in this life, but in every life. And in future also you are going to be with them in every life. This is the guarantee. This is in own Sri Aurobindo's words, you learn it. Now we begin to perceive how even before our entrance into the path of the yoga, the evolution of our life has been designedly led towards its turning point. For now we begin to understand the sense of our struggles and efforts, successes and failures. That is where Sai used to say, you come with some difficulty to me, but it is only my visiting card. Because of the trouble you came to me, and now that you have came to me, you are gone. You are finished. You have surrendered to me. So all our struggles, whether you know it or not, whether you knew about Sri Aurobindo or not, have been designed in such a way that you are led to come to this ashram. Now what happens? By our ego's preoccupation, we miss this chance. So at least when you are here, you forget about the egos. Next. Next slide about. We recognize it to more personal relation from the first touch or at the last that Jesus says. Now this presence of the Guru, from the first touch itself you may feel it, or you may feel it in the latter stages of your sadhana. Either the first touch or the last ceases, we feel the eternal presence of a supreme master, friend, lover, teacher. Trameva mata cha pita trameva. Trameva vidya dravanam trameva. Trameva charvam mamadeva deva should come from the heart, not from the mind. You will feel it as a presence. That is the guarantee that every teacher gives. The divine guide within us, within, is not offended by our revolt. So you may not fear that because I didn't come for the 2 days, I should not go. If you miss the first 3 days, come for the 4th day. It doesn't matter. Because your coming here is designed by whom? That you always remember. And when I say coming here, I don't mean to Sri Aurobindo ashram. To any guru you go. It is designed by your guru. And in the end, you have to be integrated. And whatever I may mean by integration, you understand. In the end, the final result is, all gurus must be integrated with the Jagat Guru that is in your heart, not the outer guru. But the outer guru has his designs, huh? Just as we have our designs on the guru. The divine guide within is not offended by our revolt, not discouraged by our want of faith or repelled by our weaknesses. He has the entire love of the mother and the entire patience of the teacher. Next slide. While it is difficult for man to believe something that is unseen within himself, it is easy for him to believe in something which he can imagine as extraneous to himself. Why a physical guru is required? Because in the beginning it is very difficult to find the inner guru. Until you get the inner guru, the Jagat Guru, you have to base on an external guru. A living influence, a living example, a present instruction is real. Present means the instruction which is useful for the present day time. What was given in olden days naturally has to be remolded and refashioned. for it is only the few who can make the past teacher and his teaching, the past incarnation and his example and influence a living force in their lives. So a living guru is required if we can find it. But if you don't find it, don't worry, the inner guru will guide you. Next, teaching, example and influence. These are the three instruments of the guru. He has to teach you, and he has to set an example, and then influence. But the real guru, the influence is more important than example. His presence, that is why I say, you imagine Sri Aurobindo here and Mother here, the presence is most important than example. Influence is not the outward authority of the teacher over his disciple, but the power of his presence, of the nearness of his soul to the soul of another. You should feel the nearness not of Sri Aurobindo's physical body, his soul, and you remember, soul is all pervading. So if you want to feel his presence, you can feel his presence, because he is an expert in giving you the presence. He knows how to give the presence, but what comes in between? Our egocentric attitude. There you have to practice. Infusing into it, even though in silence, that which he himself is and possesses. This is the supreme sign of the master, for the great master is much less a teacher than a presence, pouring the divine consciousness. This is what we mean when we talk about the guru, mauna vyakhya. In silence he explains. If you want a long discourse from the teacher, it is wrong. It is his silence which tells you. That is what we call by the mauna vyakhya. And it shall also be the sign of the teacher of integral yoga that he does not arrogate to himself guruhood in a humanly vain and self-exalting spirit. This is a warning for those who are reading. If you want to be a teacher of integral yoga, be careful, you can't. Because you have to go into the heart of the... And if you go into the heart, you can't be here. So, yoga, that he does not arrogate to himself guruhood in a humanly vain and self-exalting spirit. His work, if he has one, is a trust from above. He is a man helping his brothers, a child leading children, a light kindling other lights, an awakened soul awakening souls, at highest a power or presence of the divine, calling to him other powers of the divine. Next.
That is the true meaning of the guru. All of us must remember this. If you want to surrender to the guru, means that you want to surrender to the guru. That color is meaning the full meaning.
And once I heard a story from Rajneesh. He said, if you want to become Jagat Guru, there is a shortcut. For yoga sadhana, there is no shortcut. But if you want to become a Jagat Guru, there is a shortcut. He said, you pay one man, say 100 rupees, and he should tell that you are his guru. And his name must be Jagat. Then you will be Jagat Guru. A shortcut. Then we come to the Kala. The ideal attitude of the sadhaka towards time is to have an endless patience. Integral Jagat Guru. Right? No doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. That is why I say, after integration, who remains, I don't know. You can go to any guru, but when you integrate all these gurus, In the end, the Jagadguru will remain. And they left people their choice of their Jagadguru. Got the point? When in integral yoga, what do you mean by Jagadguru? Your heart guides you. Your heart guides you. Your heart guides you. And his heart will guide in a different way than your heart guides you. That is where integration comes. And then, but before that integration can come, I told you these three powers must be channelized. The Kundalini you should channelize, the prana you should channelize, the mind power or brain power must be channelized. For that the ancient tantric scripts you can use. The Raja Yoga you can use. But once these are integrated in your heart, the paths differ. But still the Jagadguru is one who gave you that idea. This presence. And do you think if we can really harness these three powers, you cannot have Sri Aurobindo's presence? This is only the physical tabernacle. That is what Mother writes. Who was the physical mould? The physical mould is not Sri Aurobindo. And that Sri Aurobindo who is the Jagadguru is always present. That level of consciousness. Has his own designs on him. You remember that? From him, you can call it, but when you say an emanation, you are coming to the material level. You should always think in the divine level. Until mind, the problem is there. When the mind is still, the reality happens. That is where he says, with mind we acquire knowledge, but in intuition, no knowledge is acquired. Already the entire knowledge is there. And now how can you say that if he is getting some knowledge and you are getting other knowledge, it is from different sources? But that one is not what we think as one. Right? The ideal attitude of the sadhaka towards time is to have an endless patience as if he had all eternity in his fulfillment. And that to develop the energy that shall realize the now, and with an ever increasing mastery and pressure of rapidity till it reaches the miraculous instantaneous of supreme divine transformation. So one is instantaneous and the other is as if you have a lot of time. And instantaneous means eternal now. Next. Self-consecration. So when you have these four qualities, we have now. We understood it. We have these four. The first is the Shastra. The second is the Guru. The third is the Guru. The fourth is the Kala. Then what is required is you have to surrender, self-consecration, Atma Samarpana. How to go about it? All yoga is in its nature a new birth. It is a birth out of the ordinary. The mentalized material life of a man into a higher spiritual consciousness and a greater and diviner meaning. There are two movements with a transitional stage between them. Now, when we say all yoga is a new birth, first is the old, then there is a transitional stage, and then there is the old becoming new. Just as I told you, the old unwanted metal is poured into the furnace, and you mould the same unwanted metal now which is molten into a new birth. The same thing we have to practice with our three bodies. You have to pour it into the tapasya, into the will. And how to do it, Sri Aurobindo tells later. But you remember these two movements. The old is there, you just can't leave it. Now what you have to do? The old has to be moulded. The process of molding takes time. And when once it is molded, the old will not remain. It will be a new birth. In the first period, he has to work by means of the instruments of the lower nature, but aided more and more from the above. Right? Next. But in the latter transitional stage of this moment, our personal and necessary ignorant effort more and more dwindles and a higher nature acts. The eternal Shakti descends into this limited form of mortality and progressively possesses and transmutes it, and in brackets what mother says, it can become immortal. It can become immortal, the physical body. You just extrapolate it. What is written here, you just extrapolate it. Is it clear? The eternal Shakti descends into this limited form of mortality and progressively possesses and transmutes it and finally immortalizes it physically. Underline it. Many people try to explain it away with the psychic being who remembers all these past lives. That already is immortal, you did not make it immortal. This physical body has to become immortal. But to become immortal, you should know the sadhana did by the mother after December 9th, 1950, and the transition period was the 4 days from December 4th to 9th. In the second period, the greater movement wholly replaces the lesser, formerly indispensable first action, but this can be done only whenever self-surrender is complete. Self-surrender or self-consecration. Surrender is a thing which we practice. Concentration is which we give. We consecrate it. You understand? Atma-samarpana is self-consecration. Next. These movements, you understand these two movements? The old, passing through a crisis or a molding period and getting a new birth. These are the movements. These movements are indeed not always or absolutely arranged in a strict succession to each other. Now, if you think this is the first stage, the middle stage is the molding stage, and then the divine transformation stage, you can't say it as 1, 2, 3. It may happen in any way. The second stage begins in part before the first is completed. Even before you know your Guru, He makes you come to Him. That you should remember. So what is happening? The molding process has already started before you know it. And even if you don't accept the Guru in the first few years, and many times I have heard about this from many people, had I been a bit more conscious when I first met Him. Now you are hearing it, be more conscious. The second stage begins in part before the first is completed. The first continues in part until the second is perfected. The last divine working, this is really the goal of our karma yoga, can manifest from time to time as a promise before it is finally settled and normal to nature. And this divine working is what exactly happens when you sleep. Yanisha sarvabhuteshu tasyam jagartir sanyami. If you know the real process of science, you can understand how the divine working works in sleep. Many doctors say that sleep is the best healer. Many times in critical cases I have been in touch with many doctors, and sometimes I find that I am always involved when a crisis comes in life. And always the doctors who attended the patient say, if he can sleep, he is cured. So sleep is the divine touch. And how we throw it away? By going to pubs. Of course we don't go. By going to the second shows. Or something where we don't give the true respect that is to be given to sleep. Unfortunately. And a man in the integral yoga path should respect his sleep in his sleeping hours. Next. The Supreme has laid His luminous hand upon the chosen. Many people ask me, how do I know that I am chosen? Your question itself says that you are chosen, don't you? Then I give a question, write about Niels Bohr's theory. What is the answer? Niels Bohr's theory. Write about Dalton's law. That is the question. What is the answer? Dalton's theory. Am I chosen? What is the answer? You are chosen. As simple as that. So if you had the question, it means you are chosen. Our examination papers prove that conclusively. Is it QED? The sadhaka of integral yoga has to bear 10 minutes from that. The sadhaka of integral yoga has to bear not only his own burden, but a great part of the world's burden too along with it. This you remember. If you are aspiring to become an integral sadhaka, your personal sadhana is of no use for us. You have to, a great part of the world's burden too along with it you have to bear. As a continuation of his own sufficiently heavy load. Here, Aurobindo was, Sri Aurobindo is considerate enough. He accepts that our own sufficiently heavy load, but you have to bear the burden of the world too along with it. As therefore, his yoga, that means our integral yoga, has much more of the nature of a battle than others. Now, do you find that you are in a middle of a battle while doing this sadhana? If that feeling doesn't come, you have to go to the old and practice all those things which I have told you about the heart, about the blood, about the mind, and about the kundalini. Once you can integrate them, you will understand you are in the midst of a battle. That is why Rama Ravana battle, Kaurava Pandava battle. Next. But this is not only an individual battle. No military man fights an individual battle, you understand it? So no integral man, integral yoga fights an individual battle. It is a collective war waged over a considerable country. When he says country, he means not only a geographical country, but also the pranamaya plane and the manomaya occult plane. You have to fight in those planes also, not only in the physical plane. He has not only to conquer in himself the forces of the egoistic falsehood and disorder, but to conquer them as representatives of the same adverse and inexhaustible forces in the world. When one discovers a law in science, in his mind, it can be utilized by all. So, when you can understand the integral yoga, it becomes useful to all. Because in himself, he contains the universe. This is another mantra. Pindanda is the Brahmanda. Dehe Devalaya Prokto. Because in himself, he contains the universe. Next. Victorious in the struggle, we can compel, you underline that word compel. We are not begging anybody. What happened? We are compelling me to stop? Victorious in the struggle, we can compel Earth herself to be an aid towards our perfection and can enrich our realization with the booty drawn from the powers that oppose it. Now, there is a Puranic confirmation of what he has written here. Whenever planet Earth is burdened with sinners, it goes and it prays. And what does Vishnu come? Say, he will come down and the powers which oppose are removed. And that is exactly what is happening since 1950. In 2011 is the deadline for the opposing powers to vanish from the planet Earth completely. It is imperative to exchange the surface orientation for the deeper faith and vision. That is where we require, when I say since 1950 to 2011, you should have a deeper conviction, because I can't give my conviction to you. But what I can say, this is the authority. And I will show you the authority in the next slide. It is imperative to exchange the surface orientation for the deeper faith and vision, which see only the divine and seek only after the divine. The next need is to compel all our lower being to pay homage to this new faith and greater vision, that is self-consecration. Surrender your thoughts, your desires and your actions. Next. This is what is the confirmation. These are the words of the mother. You recognize what is this? It is written where? To thee who has been the material envelope of our master. Now you got your answer? Material envelope. To thee our infinite gratitude. Before thee who has done so much for us, who has worked, struggled, suffered, endured so much. And once he has worked, struggled, suffered and endured, you need not work, struggle, suffer and endure. Can you understand that? That when a scientist suffers and endures and gives you a law, what you have to do is to just to read the law and then apply it. Before thee who has willed all, attempted all, prepared, achieved all for us. So we have already achieved, you remember that. But even then you have to read and work. Before thee we bow down and implore, that we may never forget, even for a moment, all we owe to thee. This is the prayer of humanity. Humanity will utter these words in utter gratitude sometime later if you convey, carry this message to all. But the message has to be carried. A physical tool must be there. Next. I didn't understand.
The
D is the divine, what we call as the soul. And the master is the Jagadguru. And technically, they both mean the same. Technically, even though there is a difference, it's only the difference of how you look at it. If you are not concerned, soul, S-O-U-L. The man who has physical body, who has Paramatma. But technically it means the same at that level. Next. You tell me when the time is over, All that the light from above, asks of us that it may begin to work is a call from the soul and a sufficient part of support in the mind. A call from the soul, you have it. Just as I gave the example. If the call was not there, you will not be hearing it. So the call is there. What is required is a sufficient part of support in the mind. You can't consecrate 100%. He knows it. But if you can just have a will that for every day, 1 hour I will study these materials and practice, that is enough. You give 1 hour, just 1 hour, not more than that, and of course not less than that. Just 1 hour per day, and you read it with the spirit of a student going to an examination. I am telling you, the time is very near when the entire humanity is going to pay that homage. If it is by your effort, well, it is our chance in millennium to work for that cause. And can't you give 1 hour per day? Of course. Dot dot dot. The idea may be that is the correct. It is the hour of the God. Exactly 1 hour of God per day. The idea may be and must be in the beginning be inadequate. Naturally, our understanding will be inadequate. He knows it. And he very clearly puts it in writing. The aspiration may be narrow and imperfect. The faith poorly illumined, even as not surely founded on the rock of knowledge, fluctuating, uncertain, easily diminished, often even it may be extinguished and need to be lit again with difficulty. Like a torch in a windy path, but if once there is a resolute self-consecration from the deep within for the hour of God, every day, that 1 hour you must give for this purpose only. You should take it as your real life work. The other 23 hours is the unreal life work. But if once there is a resolute self-consecration from deep within, if there is an awakening to the soul's call, these inadequate things can be a sufficient instrument for the divine purpose. Next. Any name, any form, any symbol, any offering has been held to be sufficient if there is the consecration along with it. For the divine knows himself in the heart of the seeker and accepts the sacrifice. The sadhaka is often led gradually, and there is a long space between the first turning of the mind and the full ascent of the nature to the thing towards which it turns. And sometimes the long space may be many births also. But now you don't wait for many births. Now the time has come. What we have been doing since many births has materialized and crystallized at this hour. Don't miss it. These may at first be vivid intellectual interests, as we are doing here, vivid intellectual interests. A forcible attraction. Some of your friends may pull you to come to this class. You are coming here not because you wanted to. You think your friend is pulling you, but it is your friend who is working as the agent of the divine. You try to see that. A forcible attraction towards the idea and some imperfect form of practice. Next. Or perhaps there is an effort not favored by the whole nature. A decision or turn imposed by an intellectual influence. You are understanding these words, I need not explain. Or dictated by personal affection or admiration for someone who is himself consecrated and devoted to the highest, your own guru. In such cases, a long period of preparation may be necessary before there comes the irrevocable consecration, and in some instances we don't read it. At least I won't read it. There may even be a recoil to the lower life, what is called in the ordinary parlance of yoga, a fall from the yoga, from the path. This is what Arjuna asks Sri Krishna. What happens to the yoga bhrata?